I'm Kevin Hatchard, and this is the Ultimate Sports Podcast.
And I'm Tom Rennie. Here's what's coming up on this week's edition.
The Premier League title race could take a decisive twist on Monday. We'll look ahead to a monumental Manchester derby.
And could Aston Villa really go down? We'll examine the battle for Premier League survival.
And our expert on all matters equine, Charlie Owens, will take a look ahead to the jump racing season's grand finale. Well, the Premier League title race, as we say, could take a big shift on Monday as Manchester City do battle with Manchester United. Not long ago, it was an 8-point gap between the two sides. It's down to 3 now, Tom, after a couple of slip-ups for United, a defeat at Wigan and that extraordinary 4-all draw at home to Everton. Are you surprised it's got to this?
I'm surprised that Manchester City didn't run away with the title this season, because they, up until, what, February time, looked unbeatable, irresistible, goals coming from everywhere. They were defending valiantly, but then, of course, the injuries to the likes of Vincent Kompany really affected their form in recent weeks. Surprising defeats, surprising draws. United, well, it's funny, they haven't impressed anyone, it seems, this season, and yet they've got a better points tally than at this stage last season. They've got the lead in the title race. They look like the favourites to come home with the title once again. And it just seems incredible to me that no one, especially City, have been able to challenge them as soon as they brought Paul Scholes back. They've looked irresistible.
Of course, earlier in the season, City won 6-1 at Old Trafford. Do you think that result will have any bearing on this game?
Well, of course, they've met three times this season. 2-3-2 victories for United in the Community Shield, nearly said Charity Shield, and the FA Cup as well. Or was it the League Cup? Definitely one of those two, anyway.
The FA Cup.
But, of course, there was such a psychological move, really, in the City from United to City after that 6-1 victory. No one saw it coming. Surely the most historic game of this season, and indeed any season, with City absolutely thumping United at Old Trafford. I mean, of course United will want to win out the Etihad, but I don't think they'll be thinking about that too much. I think Sir Alex Ferguson will be happy with a nice 0-0 draw, keep the lead intact, and win the title.
Well, let's see what Sir Alex Ferguson has to say ahead of the big game.
I suppose that when the fixture came out at the beginning of the season, all roads pointed to this game. It was inevitable, maybe. It really is all down to this game. It'll be a fantastic atmosphere. All of it lives up to the billing.
Let's also get the thoughts of SkyBet.com's Dale Tempest.
I think we all wanted to know that the City United game would have a pivotal effect on the title race. But when we were looking at an 8-point lead a few weeks ago, nobody thought that would be the case. And now it's 4-9 United for the title, 7-4 for City. But in this game at the Etihad, Manchester City, they have won 25 of the last 27 games at home, 2 draws, 77 points from 81. It's an incredible record. They're the 11-10 favourites to take all 3 points. 5-2 the draw. And Manchester United, they don't need the win. They'd take that draw. But if you fancy United, they're 11-5.
Well, moving towards the bottom of the table, and Aston Villa, after a dreadful run of form, which culminated in the 2-1 home defeat to Bolton in midweek, really are in trouble. The unthinkable for them has become thinkable. They're just 3 points now above the drop zone, and it's just something we never contemplated at the start of the season, that a club the size of Aston Villa could be relegated to the Championship.
Well, certainly I think there was a mistake made immediately when this season began in the appointment of Alex McLeish, because, of course, when protests are taking place outside the ground before a manager's even got the job, I think you should probably think to yourself, this isn't going to be the right move. And they always say, never bring someone in who's just been relegated with a side. And that Birmingham team he took down last season, they should never, ever have been relegated from the Premier League, considering some that survived. So in many ways, you know, he won the League Cup, but he did a bad job at Birmingham last season. To bring him in, well, especially after the loss of the likes of Stuart Downing and Ashley Young as well, you know, he was always onto a bit of a loser there. They've played a lot of young players this season, but they haven't looked entertaining, creative. I mean, Emil Heskey is still getting a game, for crying out loud. I mean, I genuinely think, I said this 3 or 4 weeks ago, Villa could be going down this season, because Bolton are winning games, QPR somehow are winning games against all the odds, Wigan, what a run they've been on, apart from that defeat to Fulham, they're winning games, you know, fairly regularly. They've been in great form since about February. You know, who else is down there? Wolves are gone, Villa are the team that are playing the worst of the bottom five, and West Bromwich Albion, you know, their local rivals, they've been the best of the Midlands teams this season under Roy Hodgson. They look terrific, could be on for a top 10, top 8 finish. I think Villa are in real trouble.
Well, what's strange is I've covered most of Villa's home games this season, and I've seen more fight out of the kids in the last few home games than the established players earlier in the season. You can't get away from the fact that McLeish has been desperately unlucky with injuries.
But those that go down always are.
Yeah, this is true. He hasn't been given the right amount of support in terms of transfer spending. I know he spent $10 million on Nzogbia. In fairness, he's been heavily criticised for that Nzogbia signing, really based on Nzogbia's form for Wigan last season and in the last couple of seasons. McLeish was entitled to expect more, wasn't he?
Well, I think what Villa fans have been used to in the last 2 years, Ashley Young and Stuart Downing, you know, you say what you want about Stuart Downing since he's gone to Liverpool, but Ashley Young's been an absolute star at Manchester United. He's become an England regular during this season. He's become United's talismanic figure. He's won them some dubious penalties, sure, but some vital penalties in games in recent weeks. To lose them too, and it can't be underestimated how much they've missed Darren Bent as well, because he's the man that scores the goals wherever he goes. You know, he's kept teams up almost single-handed during his career. To lose him, to lose his ability to finish inside the six-yard box, and put Emil Heskey in there as well. I mean, you've got to say, as you were saying, some bad luck with injuries, bad luck across the board. But the kids, I think Barry Bannon's been very impressive this season, one of the better of the youthful players. They've got a young kid, is it Denmark, who's just started scoring goals?
The Austrian. Andreas Weimann.
Andreas Weimann, yeah, scoring some good goals recently, looks like a decent prospect. But, you know, they don't have enough senior players coming to the fore. You've been disappointed with, you know, Richard Dunn, I don't think's been the player he was for the last 3 or 4 years. James Collins, as ever, struggles with injury. Only get 20 games a season out of him, unfortunately.
He's done well when he's played, yeah.
But when they play together, they're great, yeah, but you just can't get them together, can you?
Gabby's not performed as well as he should have performed, especially since getting the captain's armband as well. Well, let's hear from the man himself, Alex McLeish. He was given some vitriolic abuse in midweek after Villa lost at home to Bolton. What does he think about the final three games?
We've got 9 points to play for, and it's still in our own hands. We have to show the character to go to places like West Brom and get the points. You know, reputations are at stake.
Let's take a look at some of the other fixtures affecting teams at the bottom. Tomorrow, Wigan take on Newcastle. That's a cracker. And Bolton go to Sunderland. That Wigan-Newcastle game, bearing in mind Newcastle in such good form, chasing a top four finish, that strikes me as the game of the weekend. If you don't count United, obviously, on Monday, to take away from that, that strikes me as the other game of the weekend.
No, unquestionably. There's no one in the Premier League currently playing better than Wigan Athletic over the last few weeks. Sure, they lost to Fulham last weekend, but they still played very, very well indeed. And they've got a real story of that this season, Wigan. They went to Norwich a few weeks ago, blew Norwich away, but just couldn't get all 3 points. Then, of course, the victories against Arsenal and United. If you're looking at any team to stay out from that bottom five, you've got to say Wigan are the ones that are going to do it, because they're playing the best football, they're scoring goals, they're creating chances and defending well and picking up vital victories as well. Newcastle United, the surprise package of the season. There just can't be enough praise in my mind for Alan Pardew for what he's done there. Getting rid of Kevin Nolan, their talisman, their player of the year, getting rid of Joey Barton, changing up, bringing people in like Johan Kabay, who's been absolutely terrific. Demba Ba, we knew about, but somehow he's managed to keep him fit with those knees that are about to explode any moment, by all accounts. And then, of course, bringing Cisse in out of nowhere, scoring absolute corkers. You've got Jonas Gutierrez playing well, Fabrizio Colaccini remembers he's a good defender all of a sudden. They look a real prospect, and if they did make the Champions League with some investment, they could go far.
Well, it's interesting you said about Cisse, because a lot of people have said that he's been a real surprise package, but actually, he's probably the best example of how good their scouting network is.
Oh, yeah.
Because these guys aren't secrets. You know, Johan Kabay was a quality player in Ligue 1 for several seasons. Mm-hmm. Really good youth prospect when he first came through. They knew exactly what they were getting with him. Cisse had been scoring goals for 18 months in the Bundesliga, which is a tough league to score goals in. You know, he had emerged as one of the better finishers in the Bundesliga. A lot of clubs looking at him, and was very surprised that Newcastle were the only team that went for him. And Demba Ba, as you say, once you get past this concern about the knee problem, he is a very, very good striker, very strong, very quick, very good finisher. So, Newcastle deserve great credit for that. Let's move on to Sunday's games. A West London derby, Queen's Park Rangers going to Chelsea. Both teams in need of the points, but of course, the game dominated, I suppose, by matters off the field with the Anton Ferdinand, John Terry situation. And it looks as though there won't be the pre-match handshake, and that's probably a wise course of action, I would think.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the way this whole situation has panned out for many reasons. It's a shame that we don't have a resolution to it before the teams have played each other on two separate occasions since. On the field, it's probably a great time to play Chelsea because just a few days after the exertions of the new camp, your Queen's Park Rangers, and they're picking up some decent wins as well. We didn't think there was a chance for QPR with the fixture list they've had, but some decent points have come their way. Victory against Spurs last week will be absolutely excellent for their confidence and the way they're playing, and they'll lose a Delta Rat, but to be fair, apart from that goal, he's offered pretty much nothing this season, so perhaps not a bad thing going into a game at Stamford Bridge. I fancy QPR to get something out of that and keep the bottom five in great form, and that's why Villa are in such trouble.
And just finally, Spurs in a bit of free fall at the moment, and they're at home to Blackburn, who really need to win, don't they? They are starting to really struggle going into the last three games of the season.
Yeah, certainly. If we start with Spurs, I would say that if they had five further players than what they've got currently got in their squad, I think they'd have challenged for the title this season. I really do. But unfortunately, they've got a core group of about, 14, 15 players that make up their starting 11. They lose one, they lose two. And suddenly, who are we going to put in? There's no one really left. And they've been playing people out of position. The big problem, I think, is Harry playing Luka Modric out of position for several weeks. When Aaron Lennon got injured, that cost them a lot in the way they play. Everything came through Modric the first 6 months of the season, really. Got their full 11 back now, but of course the demoralisation of recent results, plus the fatigue of the players, plus what's happened in the FA Cup, the mauling by Chelsea, I think they're going to miss out on the top four, which would be a real shame for them. For Blackburn, well, I'm amazed they're not already gone. It's incredible that they put on a bit of a run of form a few weeks ago, but it's a team that's going down, I'm afraid. They made the mistake of not investing in the team. They asked for Champions League football and gave them Championship players, and that's where they're going to end up.
How much responsibility do you think the manager has to take for their current plight? Because I look at that squad and I think that's on a par with Fulham. I think it's on a par with the team, with Stoke, with the mid-range teams in the Premier League. I think he's massively underachieved.
I think I wouldn't say the Blackburn squad is anywhere near the calibre of the Fulham squad. I think Fulham have got some really terrific players, and Blackburn have got lots of injury-prone players. I mean, they relied on Yakubu a lot this season. Yakubu, some would say 3 or 4 years past his best, having a bit of a Indian summer this season.
Scoring lots of goals, though, yes.
But I'm not too sure on that front. I think Blackburn, they've got a weak squad. They've not invested sufficiently. They don't have decent backup players. I think Steve Keane, to be fair to him, under the pressure he's been under from the owners and the fans, hasn't done too bad a job. If they'd have had a couple of extra players in there, I think they may have been all right. But he's been given some difficult circumstances. Of course, he doesn't have the experience of either playing or managing at any real level, and that has of course affected the way they've played, but certainly I wouldn't criticise them too much on the regards they haven't got a stronger squad. I wouldn't say anywhere near as good as Fulham. Look at the quality of Fulham's players.
Yeah, but I think if you look at
from
the players,
Riester to Hangeland to Schwarzer.
Yeah,
to,
but you look at the Blackburn, you look at the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper is an excellent goalkeeper, Paul Robinson. You look at some of the defenders they've got. They spent a lot of money on Scott Dan, who I think he is a very, very good defender.
Scott Dan and Roger Johnson, two players that it would seem can only play together or they get relegated.
Well, yeah, seems that way. But, you know, Morten Gamst-Pedersen, I think, is an excellent player with plenty of experience. You've got Yakubu up front. You've got Junior Hoyle, who's one of the most sought-after young players.
You wonder where
Premier
he'll be
League.
Next season, don't you?
Yeah, definitely not at
West Ham, maybe?
Possibly, depending on if they go up. Well, while me and Tom agree to disagree, we'll head on to racing, and the jump season comes to a conclusion this weekend. Let's hear from our man in the know, Charlie Owens.
Thanks, Kev. And the jump season does indeed come to its conclusion this weekend at Sandown. The awards will be given after racing. Tony McCoy, he won't be involved in the action because he'll be riding at Punchestown, but he'll pick up champion jockey once again, and his tally for the season will be 199 winners. Top trainer, well, that will go to Paul Nichols, who just managed to stave off a late rally from Nicky Henderson, who's come a clear second courtesy of his magnificent 7 winners at the Cheltenham Festival. Back in third, Donald McCain. And the top owner, well, that will go to JP McManus. He achieved one of his lifetime ambitions when Synchronised won the Gold Cup for him at Cheltenham. But the big races on the Sandown card to end the season is the Celebration Chase, a 2-mile affair. It was won last year by French Opera, trained by Nicky Henderson. He'll be flying the flag for the Henderson Yard once again. He's been very lightly raced this season, so he'll be fresh and ready to do himself justice in this affair. He'll have most to fear from Wishful Thinking, as I said. I really rated this horse last year. Very disappointed in his performances to date, until last time out at Aintree, where he finally showed what he's capable of when chasing home Finian's Rainbow over 2.5 miles. I imagine these two will fight out the finish, and I'll give the edge to French Opera. The big race on the day, certainly from a betting perspective, is the Bet365 Gold Cup. Used to be known as the Whitbread. It's run over 3¾ miles. It's attracted the usual bunch of end-of-season stayers. A lot of them had run in the Grand National or the Scottish National, such as Deep Purple, West End Rocker, Vic Venturi, etc. However, I'm going to sidestep them and highlight the chance of a horse called Major Malachy, who finished a gallant second last time out in the Midlands Grand National. That was behind Master Overseer. I think that was a really good effort. He's gone up £5 since that. But this is a race he's run in before. He finished fifth in it last year. He was leading four out and was going very strongly, just faded close home. He'll be a year stronger. He looks like he's coming to hand at the right time. So I think round about 9-1, Major Malarkey's got a fair chance there. But it's not just on these shores that we want to be looking at the racing. There's some fantastic offerings at Punchestown on Saturday. Now, Punchestown has been going on all week and the weather has been appalling. They've had so much rain they had to cancel the key chases and just run hurdles and bumper races during the week. But they've reinstated one of the key chases for this Saturday fixture. It's the Punchestown Gold Cup. And amongst the runners there are Kellerspree and Ruby Light. Watch out for these two. Kellerspree won the Hennessy Gold Cup at Lebstown last time out. Well, Ruby Light, well, we saw him finish fifth in the Ryanair Chase at the Cheltenham Festival on unsuitable good ground. He'll have his favoured soft ground on this occasion. Whether he can get one over on Kellerspree remains to be seen, because Ruby Light has yet to show that he genuinely stays 3 miles, whereas Kellerspree, well, that really is his ballpark in terms of distance. So it's going to be a toss-up between Kellerspree and Ruby Light for the Punchestown Gold Cup. I'm going to go the way of Kellerspree. Well, that's the racing for the weekend.
Thank you, Charlie. OK, that's it for this week. Enjoy your sporting weekend. Thank you to Charlie and to Tom Rennie, who we spoke with earlier. It's goodbye for now.